that exemplify the mood of approaching and receiving the instructions Lord as a spiritual master and receiving his instructions. In the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the spiritual master of all living entities, there is a very beautiful thing that happens, that things that are covered to us, reality, in material conditional life, reality is covered. The condition of the spirit soul in this world is called Maya, meaning that we are a sort of living in a reality, in a reality that is not, how you say, reality that is not real. No, we live in an illusion. Thank you. It's an illusion. Maya means that what is not. So we're living in an illusion, an illusory reality. That better say illusory reality. So it's, no, that doesn't make sense. It makes sense. It's an illusory reality. Yeah, it's like a mirage. So reality is cover. It is explained that it's like when a cloud covers the sun, then there is darkness. So reality is covered by this illusion, by Maya. And the instructions of the Lord expose reality. And with the exposure of reality too, there is exposures of those things that are blocking that reality. It becomes clear. So it's what is called the life of self-realization. We basically, by the instructions of the Lord, we realize our real constitution, the reality of the identity of the self, and also the reality of this material world. It is explained that this material world, Srila Prabhupada explains this, that this material world has a purpose and is created for a purpose. And all these things get exposed by the instructions of the Lord. The purpose of the material world is to house rebellious souls. Rebellious souls. Meaning that for the living entity that becomes rebellious towards the supremacy of the personality of Godhead, that we want to exist apart and independently from the personality of Godhead, then the material world is created. So my Guru Maharaj usually says that because to have one of these bodies means that we have the seal of I am rebellious towards the personality of Godhead. So every living entity that is in this material world, well, we don't say every living entity, there's living entities that are not affected, but the majority of the living, let's see, the conditioned souls, better to say, in this material world, the conditioned souls in this material world are afflicted by this original rebelliousness towards the personality of Godhead. And this rebelliousness is manifested by the misuse of independence. Because as a living entity, as part and parcel of the Lord, we also possess some independence. Because the Lord is supremely independent. Abhyashwarat, you know, Lord Brahma said that he is supremely independent. He has unlimited independence. So we do have independence. It's a minute independence. The living entity has the same qualities of the personality of Godhead, but in a minute way. We are Anu Chaitanya. The Lord is Vipu Chaitanya. So he's unlimited. We are very tiny. Anu means, you know, atomical. Very tiny. So we possess those qualities. We are we have some independence. But when we misuse that independence, then what happens with the misuse of independence? Then false ego is created. That is explained in the teachings of Lord Kapiladev. That false ego is created by the misuse of independence. The misuse of independence means that our independence, Prabhupada explains, that we have a choice. We're with Krishna or without Krishna. That's the stain of our independence. It's a minute independence. We are in Krishna's program, happily function as, you know, in our constitutional position of serving Krishna. And or we can turn away from Krishna. So we misuse that independence and we turn away from Krishna. And then false ego arises from that. That's the first thing that comes, false ego. And the false ego manifests into this, the consequences of false ego are these two parts. The sense of self, aham, I am, and the self and the sense of controlling or possessiveness, mameti, this is mine, is for my control. I control my space. So false ego means self-center. It's about me. I am, this is mine. So is when we think about it, false ego is the most subtle of all material elements, and also is the one that basically dictates and overrides, you know, and actually controls our entanglement in this material world. It is explained, Prabhupada say, that false ego is the worst enemy for coming to this position of prapadye, or surrendering to the Lord. Surrendering to the Lord as the spiritual master. So this false ego makes our heart close. Because if I am thinking of myself, really, at the end, everything that we do in this world is a business transaction. You know, we are, we put some energy with the expectation of something in return. There is a condition. And those conditions, the different manifestation of those conditions, it depends on the modes of nature. The modes of nature dictate. Some of them, under the mode of goodness, you know, the whole ahankara vimudatma kartahani timanyate, that we're forced by the modes of nature. We think we're doing it. We foolishly think we're doing it. Ahamkara bimudha. Bimudatma, the foolish soul thinks that they're the doer of actions, but we're forced by the most of material nature to do. So this selfishness can manifest in the mode of goodness as I'm standing myself, I'm helping others, I'm doing things for the benefit of others. However, there's a motivation. I'm doing this to receive this. Dare not to give that back to me, and then you see the real face is exposed. My spiritual master tells a story when he was a young brahmachari of confronting one such a pious person. He was doing book distribution in New York. He tells a story, and he went into the garment district in New York, Midtown Manhattan, and he goes into this store and approaches, you know, the owner of the store, one of these garment stores. And when he sees this young, beautiful brahmachari, you know, saffron, shaved head, you know, with books, very bright, coming, then this man became very, you know, welcoming, and he say, "Yes, come, I want to show you something." So he took him to the back room and then show him a display of pictures of himself doing all kinds of welfare activities for others, distributing food to the poor and doing that. And, you know, he showed a whole collection of pictures. And he says, "So, you know, I'm doing all this good work, you know, impressing this young monk that, you know, he is a very spiritual person because he's doing all these things." And then my Guru Maharaj says that, you know, being a young brahmachari, not being tremendously experienced in dealing with this different type of people, he innocently say, "Yes, that is very good, but what are you doing for the soul?" And this man, "What do you mean, what am I doing for the soul? I'm helping the..." And then he became like completely like enraged and kick him out of the store. "Get out of here, you don't know anything." So the soul is, when it's a transaction, if you, so for the people who work in the when you sell things? In the retail industry, like back to Dimitri Peru, that when there is a transaction, the customers usually are very, you know, polite in the beginning. "Oh yeah, thank you so much. Here, yeah, we'll have a good day. Oh, the day is very nice," things like that. But you dare to actually say, act, you know, to get against something that goes against, you know, that, "Well, I think, you know, I should be getting this for this." I say, "No, actually the price is this." "What you mean? I got it before for this, blah, 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 blah." And then, you know, he goes into so much for the politeness and thing. So, self-centeredness, this selfishness, this false ego makes the heart very close. Makes the heart very close because everything becomes a transaction. Everything has to be for my benefit. It has supposed to be that I'm doing this and I must receive this. It's a sense of entitlement. I have a sense of entitlement for what I do. And if you don't recognize and provide what I'm supposed to receive, then it's an injustice, and I'm not happy about it. And I'm going to let you know that I'm not happy about it. That's what false ego does to us. It makes our heart close to receive. False ego actually manifests, doesn't allow us to recognize and being grateful about the things that... the things that, to be able to recognize Krishna and to be able to recognize those who are representing Krishna. That's what false ego is. Prabhupada says it's the worst enemy for surrender to the spiritual master. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, when we get exposed to Krishna's and Krishna's instructions, all these things get exposed. And also, you know, the proper purpose of life, the purpose, how to practice, how to do it, everything becomes exposed. But we have to come to the point of accepting and surrender that. But as long as we have false ego ruling our actions and the way we go about, our heart remains closed, and these instructions cannot enter. It doesn't matter how we square it, it will not enter. It will not enter. So, therefore, the process of devotional service is gradually making a crack in that sealed heart. And then, as this faith and association with devotees basically is making a crack, then Krishna's instructions can go into the heart. And then a little bigger. So basically, this process of faith, of surrender, is a gradual process that is keep open in our heart. So we have to be very, very aware of what doesn't allow us to come to this position. How do we do? How's Krishna's system? Well, he takes that into consideration. It's not that we just come, you know, we receive a book in the street and say, I'm ready to surrender fully to my spiritual master. My heart is open. Maybe you can find some great personality like that. You know, I mean, Srila Prabhupada was an example like that. But Srila Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha devotee who came to this world, you know. I mean, Srila Prabhupada is a personality that was predicted in the scriptures by great acharyas. So he's different, but for the common ones, you know, like the common conditioned soul, like most of us, is different. So it's a gradual process. So we start with Shraddha. We receive that initial faith. There's something nice, there's something good, there's something that I must, you know, pursue. So Shraddha takes us into the association of devotees, Sadhu Sangha. In the association of devotees, we start to hear and being engaged in devotional service. So before coming to surrender to the spiritual master, the Sadhu Sangha, the level of surrender to the spiritual master, not surrender, because surrender is still a very high thing, but to accept a spiritual master and to be accepted by a spiritual master comes after Sadhu Sangha. What do we learn in Sadhu Sangha? In Sadhu Sangha, we learn to serve devotees. Because by service, you curb the false ego. So that's why it's so important that we actually understand how compulsory for us is to be able to function in the community of devotees in a mood of service. Humble mood of service. Meaning that you really try to serve the devotees. And think about it when we're talking about what is blocking us from surrendering. It's a false ego. The false ego is about me. So when we're being engaged by design, by the acharyas who are guiding us in this process of devotional service, to serve the devotees, to perform humble service, then that start to open the heart, start to dissolve, you know, our false ego, start to make a crack in the false ego that seals our heart. But if we remain stuck in our false ego, then it becomes difficult. Then we wonder, why is so difficult? I'm doing my best, but I'm still stuck on the same thing. I'm still rebellious. I'm still opposed. I'm still want to do it my way. And in that, I'm always trying to find a better solution. So as long as I remain like that, obviously, you know, it becomes slower and slower. But really, in our position as aspiring devotees, as students, in the association of devotees, we have to embrace the humble service towards devotees, understanding that I have to crack my false ego. Why trust my false ego? Krishna is showing us the path. He's exposing the path. He says in the Bhagavad Gita, we're hearing it. We're hearing it in an association of devotees. So why continue giving preference to the dictations of my false ego? I mean, in one sense, we can say, you know, it's not a simple thing, but we can understand the process, how it works, and apply it. Apply it with utsaha nischarya daryat, with enthusiasm, with confidence that the process works, and with patience. But we go through. We look to serve devotees. So simple things, simple mentality of serving the devotees that takes my consciousness to be from self-centered, me, how about myself? I need this for me. You know, as long as we remain that, the instruction, we won't be ready, even if we think that we're accepting a spiritual master, we're going into that relationship and we're not being ready to receive because the heart is closed. The heart remains, false ego seals my heart. Humility opens our heart. But we cannot get to humility unless we're grateful. Unless we understand with the, you know, unless we have the gratitude of what we're receiving. Like, it's like this. We're giving 1 penny and receiving the value that is unlimited. We're giving this little tiny thing. That's what Kishore received from us. You know, some little conditional service, and he gave us so much. So when we have such a generous, you know, worship of our Lord, then we can be the only thing that comes from us is just gratitude. Like, how wonderful, how kind these deities are. How wonderful they are. So, how wonderful Srila Prabhupada is. Kishore's representative. How kind the devotees of Srila Prabhupada are. So, you know, gratitude makes our heart open. All these things actually allow us to break, you know, this false ego block. then we can receive the instructions of the Lord. Then it can enter our hearts and cut all those knots that are there. But really, as long as we remain with this closed door of, you know, we just open it a little bit with that, you know, like they put the lock in the doors, you know, like you just like, who is it? That much receive, you know, the guy, hey, we have some really good news for you. What is it? You know, like that. Or look into a little hole. Who are you? You know, type of thing. That's a false ego. Nothing will come in. Nothing will come in, or something will come in, but very little. And then we can go year after year after year without really making further advancement. And even comes to the point, I mean, we can go a little, and this false ego is the most subtle of all material elements. It will be there throughout. So even if you're able to muster humility by being engaged in serving the devotees, and then your heart opens a little bit and mercy comes into you and you receive the mercy of the spiritual master. But we always have to be aware that false ego is still there. We have to dissolve the thing. So even, you know, in our relationship with the spiritual master, false ego will come too, and then, you know, basically hijack or sabotage our advancement. So beware of it, is the message that we're being given. Beware of this false ego. It's our worst enemy. So why trust it? Why trust an enemy? We hear the thing. Why trust? Why not? Let me put my trust in Prabhupada's representative. Let me put my trust in Krishna's system. In the association of devotees, we get that training. We get the training of humble service. And we get the training of curbing our self-centered selfishness. We're living in a society, we're indoctrinated to be selfish. Not only selfish, but actually, my Giridhari Prabhu was sharing with me the talk that my spiritual master gave in Northwestern University. About, the talk was about that this society is being narcissistic. It's trained people to be narcissistic. Meaning that it's not just, you know, the sense of selfishness and self-center, but it's an inflated sense of self. Thinking that I'm more, so he showed, Giridhari was saying, he showed a slide, a picture, you were there? No. He showed a slide of a little cat, you know, like a kitten, looking himself in the mirror and seeing a lion. So this very unrealistic sense of self that is inflated. That's the society that we live. I'm thinking myself of very important. And my views and my thoughts and all this stuff is very important. I know, type of thing. So that's what we coming from. In the association of devotees, we help to break that down. We have to do it purposely ourselves. We have to understand, this is what I'm signing for. If I don't do it, then we're wasting our time. You know, it's like, you know, saying, I want Krishna consciousness, but I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do to be Krishna conscious. So, you know, we have to We have to apply ourselves on that. And it's simple, because the fact is that if we do it, we're happy. Everything becomes so nice and so happy, because there's a sense, the happiness that it comes, the satisfaction that it comes on serving with humility Guru and Krishna and the devotees, is the happiness of the soul. So the satisfaction becomes very apparent in the devotee. You see, you know, they become effulgent just by that, just by simple, that simple thing. And then when you see the devotees, that they are, when we see ourselves that we are like, you know, pale or like a loss, how you say, lackluster, there's not effulgence, it's more or less lackluster, yeah. When you see it like that, and you know, conflicted or upset or miserable, that is the symptom of false ego. And you know, it should be easier for us as if we introspected to recognize I'm miserable, means that my false ego is acting. Simple as that. But if I don't do introspective thing, if I just I'm miserable because of such and such, because of this, because of that. Nothing with us. It's about they're not doing this for me. They don't understand me. They don't do that. I'm just supposed to get this. I don't get this. You know, blah, 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 blah. And then you go into miserable situation. In that miserable situation, you start to find fault. When you find fault, you try to look, you know, for a greener pastures, you know, some other place. I should be in a better position in which I get things for myself, blah, 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 the whole thing. And you finish. Goes downwards. Almost guarantee. Some of you have seen it. I've seen it a lot. You know, I've seen it in myself. I experience it. We go through that. I think many of us can possibly have some sort of experience like that. So anyway, this is some thoughts on this. Any comments or questions? Yes, Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your class. You were mentioning the point that our false ego is the worst enemy of surrendering to the Guru. And I think this verse is from Madhya 22:16. One thing I appreciate is it makes the point that there is one Guru that's easy to surrender.
Excuse me, guys, there's a question here.
It says that one Guru that's easy to surrender to is the word is Kamadinam. That verse is a long verse, but it says that our essential Guru that's easy to surrender to is our lust, which was mentioned in basically like Roman Pal Maharaj mentioned yesterday. Lust is a very broad term, just in the enjoying spirit. And the reason I appreciate that is because our regular Guru says think of Krishna, and Krishna says think of me. But the tendency is that when we think of, let's say, lusty desires, now there's obviously some transformations in the body, something's aroused, obviously. And not only that, but when somebody praises us, our false ego is aroused. It's hard not to blush. Somebody says, as if Krishna didn't give us the ability, it's his praise, it's not our praise. But the tendency is that we become the enjoyer. When somebody praises us, it's hard not to blush. And so my question is essentially is that there's obviously transformations when we think of lusty desires or when we get some honor, or for people out in the material world who do drugs or who drink, there's some transformation that numbs the pain. Now it's very easy, it's difficult enough to surrender to the Guru when things are going our way, but when things are not going our way, it's so much easier to take shelter of lusty desires or drinking, drugs, or trying to seek honor. Because when we think of Krishna, it's like there's no experimental transformation of the body, nothing to know. When I read Bhagavatam, or when I think of Krishna, it's like, where's the ecstasy? And so it's very difficult. So that's my question. How do we come to that, maintain that faith that, especially when we're going through difficulties, but even when we're not, to still maintain our surrender to Guru and Krishna, when, especially when we're going through difficulties and not take shelter of our lust guru?
Actually, for us devotees, I believe or understand that we experience quite a beautiful, we have such a beautiful experience when we have a Krishna conscious experience. We all have, that's why we're here. We all have Krishna conscious experiences. And the happiness of that Krishna conscious experience is what keeps us here. Krishna calls it parandrishta nivartante, you know, the higher taste. We all been given a higher taste. We all been, for all of us, Krishna has exposed, you know, the goal of life. What is really valuable. We all had that. That's what we hear. False ego comes in between. It just almost like it tries to sabotage and hijack that path that we understand it is a real thing. We all have it. We all got that mercy. We all got that initial shraddha, that faith. But we have to understand there's this thing sabotaging the whole thing. So the acharyas, the spiritual master Srila Prabhupada has given us a process. It's, you know, it comes from the parampara, from Krishna himself. You know, you're studying in Srila Rupa Goswami's teachings. It's there. The process is there. The acharyas have given us the process. And if we do it exactly how they are giving us, that is so clever that it takes into consideration our condition. So it's not that we put, you know, to do something that is way beyond our capacity. No. It's, you come into the association of devotees. It's a gradual thing, like I was saying. So we have to just fully embrace the process. You know, the process of cultivating the things, serving, especially that. Because humble service will crack, forces to crack the false ego. And when you do it, the happiness that you receive also gives you I'm seeing that, you know, like I'm feeling something. There is a transformation. It happens. We all experience that. It's just that then, you know, the false ego is just waiting. Like something goes against my expectation, my sense of entitlement. Oh, I'm doing humble service to you, then, you know, you're supposed to give something to me. It's a transaction. That's what false ego say. You know, dare to actually tell me something that goes against my conception of things, then I may be not so self-service oriented, but rather I will let you know. So we have to be very, very guard and recognize it. So it takes time, but we have to understand this thing will lock us down, will lock our heart. A heart that is not open won't receive mercy. So we have to open our heart. We have to be able to with humility, with gratitude towards, you know, those agents of Krishna, what they extend into us, open our hearts and let that enter. Open our heart means we have to crack our false ego. The doors that close, that locked our heart, is a false ego. We have to. Gratitude, humble service. If that's not there, you can go on. Guru Maharaj, no Guru Maharaj. It will happen the same thing. It's guaranteed. It's there in the scriptures. Any other question? Jitendra Prabhu?
Just two words that come to mind. Hridayananda and Hridayagranti. The knot in the heart and the bliss in the heart. Those came to mind.
Yes. And the bliss of the heart. Hridayananda means, blissful heart. The bliss in the heart.
Then devotees used to say, watch your false ego crumble when you become humble.
Yes. Yeah, it's subtle. It keeps going and keeps going. But you have to open, still start to open that heart. Krishna Archana Mataji.
The description you've given of the person locked in the false ego with, a strong barricade to, and a kind of even suspicious mood towards any person coming to enter into that space because that space needs protection. And then describing on the other hand that there's the necessity to unlock or, break down that barricade. clearly there's some sort of courage involved to be able to do that. So if one were to look at what might help one to be courageous enough to go past that barricade or that locked-in space that appears secure, but obviously is also bringing about one's destruction because it's preventing growth. What would you say would assist one to make such a courageous move to go past that barricade that one has set up or the big barricade that one's keeping up to keep oneself from growing, just staying in that small little space?
I think the first word and idea that comes is gratitude. Because we're social beings. We are, among others. And everything is give and receive in this when we are among others. So if we learn to appreciate and being grateful about the things that we receive, that takes we start to take the center out of ourselves. It's all about me. But no, now others. And service, this gratitude and service. Service means that now I like to do something for others. So others becomes at the center of our actions. So there are things that definitely help us, open our hearts. It's almost like, something opens and immediately there's something that can enter. It's like, Krishna, for the devotees, for us, Krishna is like water, if some crack is open, water is going to start to come in. And then, you know, as water comes in, then immediately it's going to start to open it more. So it works like that, but it's a constant thing. The thing that we have to avoid is not work against what we have already opened just by being hijacked or sabotaged by false ego. So we have to, when something opens and then mercy enters, we have to be grateful about that mercy that have entered. And we have to appreciate it and treasure it. And as something opens more, we have to be grateful. Gratitude throughout is such an important quality. But when we are self-centered, we don't see what we receive. When we're self-centered, it's almost that I have a sense of entitlement. I'm supposed to get that. And actually, I'm not getting sufficient. I'm supposed to get more. You know, it gets very ugly like that. It's not a grateful heart, but it's actually an ungrateful heart, to say it like that. You have any thought on that?
So from what you've said, the because I'm trying to process the courageous move is a recognition of receiving.
Right. Okay. Right. I think we're out of time. Thank you so much. Garantaraj Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Oh, dear devotees, because of most of us are going to the training, there is Boga right now that has, instead of doing it on Saturday, tomorrow, we're doing it now. So kindly make yourself available to help with that. Thank you. Hare Krishna.